Welcome. Many of us come to India looking for something, seeking something, maybe seeking mental freedom or some kind of freedom. We may not even know how to describe it or what it is or know where to look or anything else, but this is what we may be looking for when we come to India. But in fact, every single moment of our life is the urge to freedom. So no matter what it is we're thinking, emoting, experiencing, all of our perceptions about everything that occurs is the urge to freedom. No matter what is coming up for us, it is the urge to freedom. We're looking for satisfaction and fulfillment in whatever occurs. And unless we know what everything is made of, we can never find satisfaction and fulfillment in what occurs. We have to know what it's made of. If there's an occurrence or an appearance, it's only if we know what it's made of, what it's comprised of, do we have any possibility whatsoever of understanding the appearance. Otherwise, we are completely lost, just completely lost in appearances. And so, what is everything made of? What is everything comprised of, no matter what it is? No matter what appears, it is comprised of space. So now today we can definitively show this in all kinds of ways, that whatever appears is comprised of space. We have all kinds of instruments that can show us that, and all kinds of philosophies that talk about that. So we have things like electron microscopes and linear particle accelerators, and we can examine everything that is, blast it apart, and when we blast it apart, there's nothing there. There's nothing that's safe. So everything and all the particles it's compounded of are space and nothing else. Now, the fundamental error in human perception is that we are aware, that human beings are aware, and that awareness is generated by the biological mechanism called the human being. That through the workings of all these things going on in the body and mind, and all the scientific descriptions of that awareness is generated somehow within the human organism. Yet if we look within the human organism, we can't really find any kind of specific location for awareness. We really can't find where that is. We can't find that about ourselves by which we know everything. So our human awareness is that by which we know everything. Yet if we look within or anywhere on the surface, we can't definitively say, well, this is where awareness is. We can't really find a location in the brain where it is, or in the big toe, or the little finger, or the heart, or anywhere. We can't really say that this awareness is located anywhere. Now, when we consider that everything is comprised of space, then what is awareness comprised of? Awareness, too, is comprised of space, and these two are inseparable, space and awareness. So this idea that human beings generate awareness and that awareness is somehow associated with an individual and a personal identity is simply an erroneous perception. At this point in human history, we could even call it primitive. We could call it a primitive superstition. We know so much about the world and what it's made up of, but yet we know so little about ourselves and our own awareness. We're so adept at describing everything. Information is free, we say. all the pioneers of the internet say, information is free. And indeed, information is free. All points of view, all information, no matter what it is free within the all-encompassing view of peer space, the all-encompassing view of awareness. So you see, making that key point that space is aware, or that all information is included in space, all it is a key point, unless there are other things that are completely and definitively understood about it. So the other things that need to be understood about it is, first of all, we need to understand the underlying implications of that statement. We need to understand the underlying implications of the key point that space itself is aware. And we not only need to understand the underlying implications but within ourselves, but we also need to embrace the broader scope of what that means. What does that mean when we really say that space itself is aware? And then lastly, even if we know the key point and the underlying implications and we can embrace the broader scope, unless we have a decisive experience of that ourselves, we can never come to a definitive conclusion about anything. So no matter what appears, unless we have a decisive experience of ourselves as space, vast and infinite space, that is entirely aware, and that has never been made into anything because nothing exists separate from it, unless we have that conclusive and decisive experience that's permanent and fully evident, we can't possibly understand any appearance. Now, to take this a step further, if we look at things like our belief systems that we have about everything, no matter what they are, whether it's who, what we take ourselves to be or what we've believed in all of our lives. If we look at those, what can we say about all these belief systems, no matter what they are? The belief systems have no independent origin, separate from space. They're points of view within the all-encompassing view of purely aware space. So all these belief systems, no matter what they may be, they have no nature independent of space, purely aware space. Every appearance, no matter what it is, has these two aspects. It is a vivid appearance, very distinct and clear with a label and such, yet its essence, its nature, is nothing but pure space. So unless we know these two aspects about all appearances, we don't really understand the true nature of reality. And unless we have a decisive experience of that, we can't really understand the way things are, either for us, ourselves as individuals or for ourselves as a species. That's simply the way it is. So how do we come about having that decisive experience of pure space, the vast expanse of infinite space that's never been made into anything? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? It really sounds like that must be a lot of hard work. You know, wow, if we've had to effort so much to do so many other things in our lives, we're really going to have to pull out the stops on this one. We're going to have to go to any length, probably work forever for decades and do all kinds of things we don't want to do in order to realize something of this magnitude. It has to be, a lot harder than tying our shoes, learning to tie our shoes, or getting a PhD in string theory. It has to be a lot harder than that. So how do we go about it? What should we do? Where should we commit all of our energy and attention and discipline in terms of this decisive experience of the key point that space itself is aware? The very easy, definitive way to ensure that this decisive experience will occur for you is to rest as your space. That's it. And unless there is rest as pure space, and there is the training in that without distraction by appearances. There is no chance whatsoever of realizing what is being talked about here. So the decisive experience is not something that needs to be attained because pure space is. It's just like I don't have to raise my foot for it to be in space. It already is in space. And it already is safe. So when we just rest without elaborating on any of the appearances, without spinning out a story about what everything is and what its meaning and significance is, then we taste that essence of what we are. We taste it definitively. We taste it conclusively. We taste it decisively. Now, many of us have all kinds of belief systems and assumptions about who we are. And, you know, we can look into those and we can say, oh, yes, I am unborn, or I am this, I am no one, I am nothingness, I am everythingness, I am nowness. You know, we can say all of these things. But we don't really need to take up a description anywhere about who we are, because pure space has never been made into description. It's timelessly indescribable, timelessly ineffable. It's never really been made into anything. If we take a dictionary and all the words in it, they're just all pure space. They're not troublesome in any way. They seem troublesome only when we attribute a problematic nature to them. Do you see what I'm saying? So, you know, at no time in human history has it been more important for us as a global human body to realize our true identity. Our true identity is completely beyond words, concepts, descriptions of any kind, let alone things like color of skin, nationality, whatever it might be. Our true identity is our wisdom identity that is inseparable from pure space. And we can only recognize that or realize it in ourselves by resting imperturbably as that pure space. It is that about us which has no doing involved in it. It's absolutely no doing. When we look into the nature of what we are and all the things we've believed about ourselves, it isn't necessary for us to scrutinize intellectually or philosophically anything about who we've taken ourselves to be. We were talking about some of these things yesterday, the concepts of karma and reincarnation and original sin, or just sin in general. Many of these belief systems that state that we're originally flawed in some way. And even though we may be sitting in this room saying, oh no, I don't believe in any of that, we can't help but believe in that. As long as we take ourselves to be someone, what we take ourselves to be is pervaded by those concepts, because those concepts are the basis of believing in good and bad, and believing that everything needs to be decided upon as to whether it's positive or negative and then accepted or rejected. This is the whole source of splitting pure space up into a three main division. Beyond all attributions of things like good and bad, acceptance and rejection, is sublime, stainless wisdom awareness that has never been caught up or stuck in any label whatsoever. So today we need this more than ever. We need this for our own freedom and self-benefit, and we need it for the benefit of everyone. We need it for the benefit of our global human family and our tremendous responsibility for stewardship of the earth. You know, we're responsible for this planet that we live on, and we're also responsible for each other. So unless we rest completely when these strong belief systems and assumptions come up, we can't possibly know how to solve our own problems or other people's problems that exist. And these belief systems that are so pervasive, we don't really even need to know how they came about or what we should do about them or how much they've affected us, whether it's psychology or religion or whatever it might be. All we need to do is rest imperturbably in the expansiveness of pure state, purely aware, without diving into the nose diving, boom, smashing the face flat into the dictionary full of labels. Everything about us is completely benevolent and wise. There isn't a thought we have or an emotion we have or an appearance that occurs that isn't an appearance of stainless wisdom. But unless we rest completely, we will never know that. We will never know decisively the experiential meaning of those words. We can't possibly know that. And if we entertain ourselves as flawed and others as, then we'll automatically entertain others as flawed. If we see ourselves as flawed, we see everybody else as flawed. So we need to really rest and say, okay, you know, what is going on here? How much of this do I know to be true about myself? How much of this can I really definitively say through my own experience of totally natural rest is true about myself? And does original sin apply to me, or is it just a point of view appearing in pure space, empty of an independent origin like all other points of view? Do karma and reincarnation apply to me, or are these just points of view appearing in pure, timeless, forever, stainless space that has never been made into anything? And then as we rest completely in the direct encounter with all these belief systems and assumptions about who we take ourselves to be, we start to see what's really going on in a very clear way. Then it becomes clear that everything is an impeccable wisdom that is beyond the need to put all these systems in place in order to describe. That we don't really need all these descriptions to make sure that we know what things are anymore. And when we rest completely, no matter what we're doing, so we can be running around, studying, working, making love, defecating, it doesn't matter what we're doing, we're always totally naturally at rest. I had to mention defecating in India, you know. It's an unusually popular test. But no matter what it is, we're entirely and completely at rest. You know, there's nothing that is not at rest. And when we rest completely as the open spaciousness of everything as it is, then it becomes so clear that there's never been a division anywhere. There's never been a division, and there's never been a mark or stain. There's nothing in pure space that has ever been marked or stained. It is forever stainless, forever flawless. So when we rest as that, it becomes clear to us that these points of view that say we may be flawed are probably something we need to reconsider. You know, maybe within looking at everything as good and evil, it was necessary to put in systems related to good and evil, systems of social and political control, to make sure that good was perpetuated and evil was stomped out. So maybe that's how some of these things came about. Who knows? But, you know, when we really rest with it, it becomes clear that things like original sin and reincarnation and karma, what they really do is perpetuate kind of a ruling class of everything. You know, where there are certain people who know it all and have ruling authority over everyone else. Well, perhaps in a world of good and bad, systems like this are necessary. But we as human beings have evolved beyond that. We've really evolved beyond that. And now it's really important for us to evolve into this new mind that is beyond all these words and concepts that have fragmented us within ourselves and also fragmented us as a species. We really must do this. So just rest completely, rest totally and irrevocably as the absolutely pure space of what you really are. The pure space of what you really are has never been made into anything, including you. So whether you are or not, the pure space of you always is. When we hear things like, oh, you know, I'm birthless, I'm deathless, I'm timeless, I'm this, I'm that, you know, it feels so good. We know it's true, but unless we have the decisive experience of that, we'll be lost in space, so to speak. Now, you know, everything I'm talking about here today, these are timeless truths, but in every era, these timeless truths have been spoken in a way that people who live at that time could understand. So this is a way of speaking about things at this time in a way that everyone all over the world can understand it. We all know we're aware. There's no one anywhere who can say, I'm not aware. So this is not an abstraction. It's a decisive experience that we have as human beings. We are aware. If we say the absolute or Dharmakaya or this or that, then that's kind of an abstraction. It's not really something we can decisively relate to our own experience of being human. But when we want to know about being human, we need to take it back to that about us by which we have knowledge of being human. And we have knowledge of being human by awareness. Without awareness, we wouldn't know we are. So when we just rest as that pure space of awareness without needing to describe ourselves as anything else, then we come to know everything about this appearance right here and all other appearances. When we rest as the pure space of awareness and we see so conclusively that all points of view just appear within this awareness, but that we've never been caught up in them in any way, even if it seems that we have, then we know that about everybody else, too. We know what troubles the world. We know it through our own direct experience, and through our direct experience, we see that it's true about everyone. In our own direct experience, we have an incredible upwelling of compassion that occurs when we see how we fooled ourselves for so long. We just feel a deep kindness for ourselves. And when we feel that kindness for ourselves, we feel it for others. Just like when we feel we're flawed, we feel everyone else is flawed. We feel we need to be fixed, and we're certain everyone else needs to be fixed. When we have the decisive experience of our own flawlessness, we see that everyone is flawless. Everything is flawless. There's never been anything that's been flawed. And we don't need to set up these rigid structures of what's good and what's bad in order to tap into the wholesome goodness that's at the root of everything. The wholesome goodness of everything is not lost in descriptions and trying to build big piles of good and eradicate the bad. What is wholly positive and originally pure at the core is this absolutely spacious nature of everything. When we rest as that, we see how to bring everything to an excellent conclusion, so to speak. So if we're facing problems of any kind, we just know what to do about those, really, without even thinking about it. It just appears in sublime wisdom. Now, when all these belief systems systems and conceptual theories meet with sublime wisdom, then they're destroyed. They just disintegrate. What seems so real one moment, it just isn't real the next, you know. So even though something was taken to be so, all of a sudden it's no longer so. So, you know, this is just like belief systems and conceptual theories. They're like a forest, you know, where all the trees shade and protect each other. But if one tree catches fire, then that fire, like a wildfire, will leap from tree to tree until nothing remains. When the light of dawn opens up, darkness can't be found anyway. Rest is best. Rest repeatedly for short moments many times until it becomes automatic. And if you don't want to do that, then just keep listening to what is being said here. And conviction will dawn bright and clear like the noonday sun. Really, there's nothing that needs to be done. Everyone already knows who they are, and there's no one who's excluded from that which has never taken up any being either included or excluded. So there isn't any possibility that anyone could be excluded from the full-blown identity of wisdom, of complete primordial wisdom that is beyond the need of anything, beyond the need of any system or belief, no matter what it is, time and space, cause and effect, all these things we hold so dear. Space is dependent on nothing. It's absolutely dependent on nothing. And that's the case with everyone here. You're dependent on nothing. You're not dependent on the accumulation of all the thoughts you've had about yourself. Those are just vivid appearances of emptiness. It's only when we take them to be something and then believe that that's what we are that we seem to be that. No matter how strong your belief about anything may be, just rest completely. You don't have to say, oh, I'm going to change that belief or I'm not going to change it. Just rest completely and you will come to see the true nature of that belief. You will see everything there is to see about it. Are there any questions?
This teaching really rocks the boat for me. I can't believe what's happening is I'm just seeing so clearly all the masks, all the labelling that I've done. So for example, if I have a feeling about myself, I'm not so articulate. So if I'm with somebody that is articulate, then there's some movement to either not want them to be that way, or for me to, I can't be in that company because it hurts. So as soon as you rest, you see, oh, you can be who you are. He doesn't know that yet. it's just crazy. You just say, well, it's like, who I am is okay. It's all right. So that, but you can only do it through rest, because otherwise we're just so holding on to it. It's just become like real. I thought through the 12 inquiries, I did deal with a lot of stuff, but there was a lot of stuff that was a lot deeper that I hadn't noticed. So that's coming up now, thick and fast, and I'm so grateful for it. No, it's like, come on.
Uh-huh.
It's fantastic.
That's the correct attitude.
Yeah, thanks. Right.
You're welcome. That's a long
reason. Question or a comment? It seems in resting, it's so simple and wonderful an experience or a beingness. It's almost perplexing that all these other things come up, that it's such an effort sometimes, or it feels like such a finding this myself sort of mystified that there's so many points of view and where they come from and why all that is there, when the simplicity of beingness is so present as well.
The points of view are the simplicity of beingness. They are. And that is known in rest, in total rest. There's never been a separation of any kind. There isn't any beingness separate or apart from whatever appears. And it's only through learning that we're somebody, a subject who's relating to all kinds of objects, that it seems like there's anything. When we just rest, we realize the subject and the object are equal. They're just points of view within basic space. There isn't a special point of view called a subject that is a storehouse or hard drive of a lot of other points of view. It's just a fleeting point of view like any other point of view. The only reality of beingness about anything is pure space, pure awareness, just as it is. There's never any division anywhere, such as a watcher of an object, an observer of something observed. But we don't even have to, those are all philosophical concepts that we've heard a lot, especially nowadays. However, they mean nothing unless we decisively experience that. And the only possible way to do that is to rest. Because for many of us, the being somebody who is an individual with a personal identity and a subjectified existence is so strong, that point of view, that we just need to rest. We don't need to do anything about it. If we try to do something about being somebody, try to annihilate the personal identity, get rid of the ego, get rid of being somebody, we'll just be messing around with something that isn't there. It's like going like this in space. Oh, I'm going to figure out my personality now by grabbing onto pure space. It really is silly. But, you know, we have to come to these conclusions for ourselves by just resting imperturbably. There's nothing that needs to be done about something that never existed in its own right.
Yeah, I guess it's just a matter of continuing to rest.
Uh-huh.
Feel this confusion that arises when a point of view is present and I'm totally identified with that point of view. There doesn't, the consciousness of resting isn't experience in that moment?
Not to worry. Not to worry. Just keep resting. And at first, rest is intermittent for most people. Very rarely does total rest come upon one. And that's it forever. That's very rare. For most in the beginning, it's intermittent. And then with repeated return to rest, it becomes automatic. Either that approach or just continuing to hear the message of the way things really are until conviction dawns, or a combination of the two. Just whatever it is for you, it's absolutely perfect. And then after the intermittent rest, it becomes permanent and there's no need to try to rest. And then the resting has a subtle quality that pervades all points of view, no matter what they are. And then that transitions into full-blown awareness that outshines all points of view, so there's no longer any division. Everything still is exactly as it is without any need to change anything or take up any point of view. However, there's no division. There's no division whatsoever, and there's the appearance of the potent benefit of tremendous wisdom that affects the world in a positive way.
Thank you. It's interesting what you say. What I understand is the ancient sages talked about space, and they meditated on space, I guess, for many years, but then they went beyond space. They decided there was something beyond space, i.e. consciousness. So it'd be interesting to hear what you have to say about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the ancient sages, so to speak, who are inseparable from what is here right now, as everything that appears, when we look at what they did and we read what they said and what they did, many times we interpret that through our dualist filters. What the ancient sages really said was that when they meditated on space, they rested as space and became aware that that is the essence of their being, that they then found that space to be inseparable from the clear light of wisdom. They didn't say they then went from that to somewhere else. They just said they found that everything to be inseparable from the clear light of wisdom. So the way that we can best understand that today is that initially we rest as awareness, which is inseparable from space itself. But when we talk about space, we're not talking about space as an object that is studied in science. We're not talking about space that's the extent of a surface. We're talking about the meta space in which everything, no matter what it is subsumed. The greater category in which everything is subsumed, and from which the clear light of wisdom is inseparable. So say we have an appearance, no matter what it is, like something that comes up in our mind, a big emotion or a thought or whatever it is, and we just rest as that pure space, we're automatically resting as the sublime wisdom of whatever that appearance is. And that just becomes more and more obvious.
And why wouldn't you call that the infinite? Why wouldn't you say that's the infinite? Why do you use that term?
Why don't I use that term?
Yeah.
Because it's an abstraction that most people can't relate to.
But space is an abstraction also.
Awareness is not an abstraction. And when the direct experience of awareness is combined with the powerful, ultimate, metaphoric, basic space, it's very easy for people to realize the results of their own being. So, you know, the ultimate reality of everything has been called many, many things. And it's very important for everyone to be able to relate to that in a way that's directly accessible. And awareness, self-knowing awareness, which is the essence, the heart essence of everything, is a very direct way for most people to do that. So, you know, the Great Freedom Teaching, which I represent, is very focused on a uniform message that can be shared by all human beings, that it's very easy for any human being to understand, whether schooled or not, and to decisively experience and grow more and more familiar with. So we have chosen the language of the teaching with great care from the light of sublime wisdom, so that it's something that's easily accessible to everyone. Now, that's really great because it allows for everything. You know, it allows for everything. If you want to call it the infinite, go right ahead. It allows for that, too. But it doesn't say that everyone has to call it that. And it because it isn't tied to any system or category of a way of looking at things like religion, spirituality, philosophy, psychology, or anything else. It's just simply based on what it means to be human. It can either include all those things I just mentioned or not. Something more?
You discussed a few days ago about the refinement of the perception. I wanted to ask about the term refinement of perception because of the relatively uncontrived resting. So I just wanted to be clear.
With what?
Refinement.
How
often? What do you mean by that?
Well, I didn't use the term refinement of perceptions. I said refining perceptions.
Okay.
By resting imperturbably in awareness. And let's see, what's an illustration we could liken that to? Well, you know, we could liken it to crude oil. When crude oil comes out of the ground and it goes to a refinery, it's refined into its more subtle form. So all the while within the crude oil, there's gasoline and other types of substances, but they don't become apparent until the refining process takes place. They're not usable in any way until the refining process takes place. So with getting familiar with awareness, the pure awareness that is the ground of everything, there's an automatic refining of perception that takes place. In the beginning, perception could be considered crude because it's caught up in incidentals and taken to be something. And then as perception is refined, it's like the pupil dilating in the eye. It opens up. So the word refining and opening of perception are equal. You know, then there's no need to cling to anything. There's just the complete, utter relaxation that is at the core of everything. There's no need to jump into, oh, I've got to have it my way. If it isn't talked about this way, then I can't stand it. We don't need to have any special terms or ways of looking at anything. We no longer bristle in response to everything we hear, or a lot of what we hear. We just have a relaxed openness, no matter what appears, with no need to hold to anything. You see, the whole process our perception is always wide open, and our reception is we're always completely wide open like space, so we don't need to get that way. We're just acknowledging that that's already the case. the whole way of life based on getting involved in all the points of view and taking those to be who we are is based on a very simple process. And that is, first of all, when a point of view, which is a, that's synonymous with a thought, emotion, or an experience, when any of this appears, then the whole way of life of point of view or dualistic perception is based on holding to these points of view that appear. The point of view appears and then there's the holding to that. Then there's discriminating about whether the point of view is good or bad and whether it's something to accept or reject. And when we're discriminating as whether everything is something to accept and something to reject, we're automatically throwing ourselves into disturbance, afflicted state. So this is the whole routine of taking everything to be something, taking ourselves to be someone, taking ourselves to be someone who's opposed to something else. And the only way we can take ourselves to be someone who's opposed to something or someone else is to be opposed within ourselves to our own thoughts. If we're opposed within ourselves saying, oh, this thought is right, that thought is wrong, or my thoughts are right and that other person's thoughts are wrong, then it just spins out a whole reality of just that. When we relax into the essence of everything, the sublime light of wisdom sees the true nature of all phenomena, no matter what they are. Something more than that. No matter what appears, it appears as an expanse of equalness, the infinite vast expanse of equalness. And the need to call something negative or positive subverts that equalness. It makes it seem like that equalness isn't. Now, no matter what appears, whether we think of it as negative or positive, to just rest completely without any need to further the elaboration or description is to decisively experience the nature of our being. Whatever is, is. There's no need to change or modify anything. You know, maybe, how old are you? 50. Now, you know, you may, you're 50, you're sleeping 7 or 8 hours a night. Well, when you're 60, you probably won't be. So, and you know, when you were a baby, you slept most of the day. Yeah. So whatever it is, it is. Life is just whatever it is. But if we try to rearrange things in order to make ourselves more aware, then we get into a little bit of a problematic situation because nothing needs to be changed. Now, there are ways that we can know more about sleep. And one of those ways is that when falling asleep, rather than just conking out and going right into sleep, to just rest in bed and notice how all the points of view subside into a non-conceptual point of view. So the very busy, active point of view subside into a non-conceptual point of view. And then at that point, remain aware, vivid awareness as that non-conceptual expanse. And from that, it's possible then to remain aware all during sleep. Not that that's a pastime or a practice you need to take up, but it's greatly supportive of resting in awareness because we usually think that we're completely at the whim of sleep and dreams, that there's nothing we can do about them. But when it becomes so obvious that sleep and dreams, too, are points of view appearing within awareness, that's very powerful. It's very powerful. No, just what I described, just remain aware, rest while you're going to sleep.
Remain aware.
You tell me. Oh, but tell me after you remain aware. Sleep is a point of view too. Awareness never slept. Never wants to sleep. So you see, all of these things in terms of waking, dreaming, sleeping, the states that we describe about ourselves, or birth, life, and death, all of these are just points of view within the ground. The primordial ground. You don't really need to call it anything. Yeah.
Another associated question. Uh-huh. Any role of austerity?
Like what?
Yeah, numbers of things like there. We should live our life with basic necessity. That is what is prescribed.
Oh,
okay. In our activities of that.
I would recommend to, and the great, this is what is recommended in the Great Freedom Teaching, to just allow the sublime light of awareness to be the decision maker. So rest completely at all times in all situations until you have no need to do so, and more wisdom will inform everything. Wisdom can't be shaped from austerities or anything else because everything already is wisdom. If we say that through austerities we're going to arrive at wisdom, then we're stating that there is someone who's going somewhere. So we have the subject headed towards the object of a destination. When we rest as awareness, there is no subject and object from the beginning of the beginning. Then everything comes into a perfect balance. The all-encompassing sheer view of awareness is the balanced view. Balanced view is another term for wisdom.
And the point of view of moderation, I find it useful to take moderation in moderation.
Spoken like a true
Irish. Your sort of manner, I became aware of that points of view subside as this body goes into a wide term of sleep. So that rose the point of view that actually is this body, like the essential point of view, is liberating points of view, and then that
that calls into question necessarily the notion that this body is within awareness, but not generating it. Because there's clearly an apparent subsiding of points of view as I sleep, and yet awareness and points of view are one.
What's the question?
It's not much a question, it's just an expression of doubt that's rose in awareness and points of view being one, if I'm aware while there's no points of view. It seems the points of view then coming from the body, because they subside when I sleep into one single point of view of the sort of effect of my points of view. I do overcomplicate things.
Well, you know, for some of us, we like to intellectually speculate about things, but that's okay. It's just rest. And all the points of view are equal. It isn't that the intellectual speculators have the inside scoop on anything, or that the emoters do, or anyone else. Whatever your circumstantial points of view are, that's what they are. But you see, the points of view that appear, they're not related to anyone, because that's the point of view too. So there's just the all-encompassing pure view of awareness in which all points of view are equal. We rarely have the point of view of being somebody. It's not like we're sitting around all day just absolutely certain that we are somebody. When we rest, we just naturally let go of any kind of fixed identity we believe we have, without thinking about it or without trying to do anything. And then all the points of view, no matter how subtle, just loosen up. We no longer need to feel that we depend on so much to be. We don't depend on anything to be. We don't depend on our bodies to be. We don't depend on our minds to be. We don't depend on our opinions to be. We don't depend on our heartbeat to be. We don't depend on our breath in order to be. We don't depend on our life to be. We don't depend on our birth or our death to be either. We don't depend on food to be. We don't depend on money to be. We don't depend on relationships to be, including our relationship with this form to be. We don't depend on the planet Earth to be, regardless of whether Earth is or not, being this is. So you see all these points of view, we can think about them forever and come up with all kinds of opinions about them, but unless we just rest absolutely as the essence of everything, we won't understand the true nature of phenomena. Whatever it is that appears, we're not dependent on it.
What does remigration mean to you?
A point of view. There's no one who's ever been anything, including realized.
So we're all realized now.
Realization is, and it's not related to anyone. The realization that's never known, non-realization, the realization in which realization and non-realization are not two is the single non-dual understanding.
Is another point of view.
Pardon?
Is another point of view.
Yeah. There's no need to get fixed in on anything. It's seeing the way things are. So simply in your own experience, enjoy the natural settledness of everything as it is.
Through resting, and that was an example, I've become aware finally of how I get stirred up by any discrepancy that I see as discrepancy. And my friends at home, they call me Joe Tenbrain, because it's just this thing is just going on continuously.
So
Tenbrain.
Henry.
And now what it feels like is occasionally someone calls glitter over me. This is the proliferation of empty points of view. I could only see that as resting and becoming more just and I see them very clearly that it's just one tiny discrepancy that was also meaningful. So it's like, oh, there's a gap.
What a relief. You know, it's so amazing because the more we relax, no matter what we're up to, then the more the natural joy, the manifest joy that's the essence of everything becomes apparent. There's just a lightness to being and a kindness to being that's absolutely evident. Now, it doesn't have to be that way for everyone. It's very likely you'll smile more and not be so hard on yourself or others. So, you know, but there's no great mystery or esoteric nature to anything. The mystification of the reality of our being is just something that's come about through developing philosophical systems about what is actually totally simple. So when the nature of being becomes so marginalized that almost no one can understand it, and there are only a few who seemingly understand it, then it's time to strip everything naked and get back to basics.
Like when you said about the words you chose, and in words like infinite, unmanifested, and unborn, to me they separate to something that I can't relate to, because I feel manifested, born, and finite. But with awareness, then that whole duality breaks down because I can experience awareness directly, and also that I'm also aware of unawareness, so there's no the duality. I'm aware. So those words are more of a distraction, if anything.
The words.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the beauty of everything as it is that it is so simple. It really is so very simple. And your benevolent, the entirely beneficial or wholly positive ground of being. So there's no way to talk about anything or describe anything that is finite and definitive in and of itself. Do you see what I'm saying? Because who we are is entirely indescribable. So these dissociated ways of talking about things are completely unnecessary. You know, like to start out by saying there is no experiencer, there is no doer, I am unborn, or all is this, or all is that. These are completely unnecessary. If you begin resting and you feel yourself to be experiencing rest, that whole idea of someone experiencing rest will naturally slip away without any need to think about it or put it into harsh categories of language that split off people from the reality of being. See, there's no need to take up a position anywhere, either in the things exist or they don't exist, or this way is right and that way is wrong, or any of that. Just relax into the essence of your own being and all is revealed exactly as it is. You know, one minute you may use the term unmanifest or infinite, the next minute is finite and resolute. It really doesn't matter. There's no need to describe anything as anything that is fixed, definite, and real forever from this moment forward. And the natural equalness of everything as it is, there's just a perfect wisdom. But, you know, even the term equalness is just another label. So, you know, these things that we experience so definitively as the reality of what we are, they can be described as equalness or the non-dual expanse or whatever it is. But none of those is needed as any kind of linguistic support. No support whatsoever is needed for that which has never had support and is the meta structure of everything. When we just look at everything as it is with simple human perception, we can see that there is a natural order to everything. Even the chaos and confusion, there's a completely natural order to everything, no matter what it is. And that natural order of everything that is completely at ease is the ease of our own being. There's never been anything separate from that. And if we experience it as a finite something, or we experience it as an infinite nothing, it's all an expanse that is equal and even. We no description about reality is either right or wrong.
I just want to share something about this thing, because I just found it to say, especially the past 3 days, like you say, leaving you no possibility not to rest as to face as a woman. Because what the process of the reading, actually you're saying in a very nice word and very articulate word, just give in. There's no definition, there's no description, there's no nothing. And the change of software from the old mind to this true awareness is just amazing. And I'm saying that because, first of all, in gratitude, and second of all, just whoever is not going to do this thing, is coming out. Because for somebody like me or for Joe, people that I know that you are in the past before you met, people that are, you like to think, philosophize, try to grasp, all that stuff, just came
Came over,
and the beginning of a beautiful new thing. That is completely light and happy.
The word that she used is that there's no wiggle room.
No wiggle room.
There's no wiggle room.
No wiggle room, yeah. And would you like to tell everyone specifically what you're talking about, the retreat in the afternoon?
Yeah. What are we doing? What's going on?
The time, like,
yeah, 1 o'clock. Just yesterday we read an amazing and powerful text that, like I said, I just feel there's a switch in software.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Yeah. And then sometimes it's bugs, you know, like a new software. And then there's another day, and then the bug kind of dissolves into pure space. And then in the break we write it down. If you're not in an English language, you can just write it down in your own language, and then it's so powerful and profound. And then we come back and read it again, and even the gratitude, everything in this retreat is so pinpointed. When I did it the first time, actually, I said, why do we have to go back and read it again and read this letter? And I just couldn't understand it, and now I just see how it just leaves you with no wiggle room to know who you are. To be joyful, and it's not a state, it's not like I'm happy because something outside is happening, I'm just, there's happiness because nothing matters and everything matters, but it's happiness that is beyond anything that is happening, and nothing changes anything. And there's no
difference, so, happens.
Like a very profound being said, would you rather be happy or right? Thank you so much.